commonly, because it's a half-day fast, commonly, but not always, the Pushpanjali takes place midday at noon, or a little before noon, and then the arti for that acharya at noon. And in some places, we're going to do what is done at some places tomorrow. This is a little adjustment in the schedule. Some places, the Pushpanjali takes place just before Guru Puja. I'm familiar with that in a few places, actually. So tomorrow, if there are children, there will be prasadam for children at 9 o'clock. We'll make mention of this tomorrow in case people that have children aren't here. Prasadam for children, if children require that, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and otherwise the rest of us will be fasting. And we'll have prasadam at 1 o'clock. And greeting of the deities at the normal time, 7 o'clock. And then when it comes time for the Guru Puja, which we normally have right after that, we'll first have, there'll be a picture of Bhaktivinoda Thakur on an easel. We'll perform a little Pushpanjali ceremony for Bhaktivinoda Thakur at that time, 7:10 or so. And then simultaneously an arti for Prabhupada. At that normal time we have arti for Prabhupada, Guru Puja for Prabhupada. And then the rest of the schedule will remain the same, as you see posted. The only difference being, when we have our 32-round day, people kind of trickle down for breakfast and trickle down for lunch. This will be, everyone will go all at once for lunch because they've been fasting for the morning. And then we'll come back at 2 o'clock. Someone can organize kirtan in the temple room. And then 2 o'clock, and 2:15 we'll have sharing, just as the schedule says. And then 3 o'clock the bell rings. It's recess. It's all over. And people that need to go to different places can go to their different places, back to where you came from. And the rest of us will stay and continue with kirtan and the rest of the schedule as you see. Rasika Manji, do you have an idea who may need some take-home, like little prasadam packets? You already know? Do we need to ask that question tomorrow, or you already know? Okay. If you haven't notified Rasika Manjari that you need take-home prasadam, notify her. If you don't know who she is, she's waving her hand over there. She'll see that you get take-home prasadam. Just let her know. And that'll be around, well, whenever you need it, but around 3 o'clock. 11 o'clock if you need it. Okay, fantastic. So how's it going? All right? Subal, you're happy? Very happy. I suggest tomorrow is what we call our 32-round day, and some of our devotees, there's a famous young devotee that he always chants 64 rounds, and he sleeps very little because he's so wired and fired up, and he just like 2.5 hours of sleep, and he's up and he's chanting his japa. And so you can chant more than 32 rounds, but I suggest a nice idea is get good rest tonight, take rest at a reasonable time, get up at a reasonable time, and chant very attentive japa, and then the morning program, Mangal Arti, and so on, as we just described the morning program. And then children need somewhere besides the hall upstairs. Your son is one of the loves that hall again, like a herd of turtles running up and down the hallway. So that's not a good place. outdoors is a good place, downstairs is a good place, upstairs in the hall is not a good place. So children need to be someplace where there's little supervision, and then, you know, the adults can focus best if you during the 32 round day, as far as possible, stay here in the temple room. There's a lot more men than women. Maybe they're somewhere taking care of the children or something like that. But normally what we do is women stay on this side, men stay on that side. We may not need to do that because there's not so many women. But allow freedom for ladies to walk as the men like to walk sometimes. But stay pretty much, try to stay as much as you can in the temple. Don't here and there, as much as you can. I mean, the lobby and the nice garden outside, but your children will be doing children's things out there. So stay here. Stay focused. And that synergy helps keep the focus. I'll mention it again tomorrow, but we request, it's like a policy, but stronger than request, Mona, up until we have our lunch at 1 o'clock. Mona means silence. Even during prasadam, you know, if parents have to help their children with something or other, that's fine. Do it softly. And then back to silence. And that will help maintain, that's only sobriety, but focus. And so the goal is not, of course, not just quantity. The goal is, with quantity, it helps quality. But the goal is quality, so strive for that. Some tools have been given to you, or techniques, or maybe some inspirations that will help you. I'll just remind you of some of them. And in the course of your chanting tomorrow, likely something will appear in your mind that will help you. And one of the questions we'll be asking is, what helped you the most in your chanting when we do the sharing part? Three of the topics spoken about at some length was intention when chanting, or sankalpa. What is the purpose for which you're engaged in this activity of chanting? It's certainly very helpful to know where you're going before you start to go somewhere. Know the goal, know the purpose, and stay focused on it, as we discussed, and fueled by devotion, that is, for pleasing Krishna. That exercise that Prema Tarangini led you through, those that were here, around lunchtime. Many, many people, the previous retreat in Seattle in June, many people said that helped them the most, that when you're chanting, it's not just you're chanting, but Krishna is hearing. Of course, Krishna is in his deity form, Krishna is in his holy name form, but Krishna the person. And he's hearing and he's helping to deliver you from difficulty, deliver you from the struggle of material existence, deliver you from false ego, the root of offenses. Because on our own, trying to overcome offenses, it's not so easy. He spoke something about taste ruchi that simply comes from practice and practice and practice with faith. So we spoke about the syllables Krishna, that this exercise of or meditation on the object Krishna. Remember Rupa Goswami's very nice verse, the Vidugdha Madhava verse. Krishna, as you're chanting, appreciate the meaning and how much Rupa Goswami appreciates the two syllables Krishna, because they're all attractive and they're attracting the mind. Remember that discussion. So, as I'm speaking, what I'm hoping to do is put some tools in your toolkit, so that when you begin your chanting tomorrow, they're all there. You just decide which one you want to pick up, and you pick it up. And if it's not working so much, you put it down, pick up another one. So just to assist you, tools to help you become more absorbed in the holy name. Focus on the vibrating of the sound, attentiveness to the vibrating of the sound, and Krishna's dancing within your mouth or dancing on your tongue, and Krishna enters into the holes of your ears. And such nectar, if you hear carefully, such nectar. And Krishna enters into the chamber of the heart. And the activities of the mind become inert. The senses become stunned by proper hearing. So, just a few other things, and then I thought to speak not so much and invite some further discussion, and if time permits to end, we'll see if time permits, but to end with just picking up from that exercise that we did midday. Some of you were not here at that time, but pick up again and invite Prema Tarangini to have to revisit that exercise to help you do the same tomorrow. Let's see if we have the time. We spoke some about false ego and the role of false ego in offenses. False ego sees things that are actually spiritual, like the holy name, and etc., in a material way. We don't see them. We don't see things properly when we're seeing through false ego. And the mind acts to facilitate or protect the false ego. In other words, if somebody says something of appreciation, the mind smiles. And if somebody says something the other kind, like deprecatory, the mind frowns. Happiness and distress. And the mind contemplates happiness and distress and the objects of happiness, stress, and past feelings of happiness and distress and future expectations for happiness and distress. And the mind is carrying us here and there, protecting the false ego. So it's important when chanting to bring the mind, instead of to the happiness and distress or duality, to Krishna, to the sound of Krishna's name. And it's difficult because the mind is restless and very complex, and you know, the seat of so many desires. So by constant practice, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if at some point during your chanting tomorrow you seem to get stuck, one thing you can do is pick up some tools from the toolkit. But another principle is the principle of humility. That is, recognizing your position. The reality is we're very tiny and we're dependent in that tiny position. And on our own, it's not happening the way that our plan was commonly. And so with that comes it's not a hopelessness, it's a reality, it's humility. And chant from that position, calling out, and just stay there. Don't like, oh, I'm uncomfortable feeling I'm not chanting nicely. When I'm not chanting nicely. From that, but rather from the position of humility, it deflates, if not defeats, false ego. It helps us call Krishna's name in a feeling way. I'll just share this one that I like very much. It's from Niranjana Maharaj. He was sharing with us one time, was it in Ojai at that japa retreat, Badahari was there, where we were speaking about chanting with feeling. And he pulled open his computer and started sharing with us the following. He said he had a disciple, at least the best of my memory, like a very successful book distributor, a very strong person, you know, like celebrated figure in the yatra. And they got some very serious illness. They were hospitalized, and they were in the hospital for some time. The condition was very bad. And while their condition was very bad, they weren't able to chant. And they felt very bad because they weren't able to chant. So they had written to Niranjan Maharaj, I'm out of hospital now. I'm getting back some strength. I'm able to chant 4 rounds. And I'm hoping very soon I can get back to my 16 rounds. And please accept my apology for being unable to complete my chanting while I was in the hospital. And he wrote back a very nice letter saying, don't worry so much just now. You're recovering from a very serious illness. Don't worry so much now about your vow of 16 rounds. Right now, conserve your strength and try instead to chant with feeling. Because if you can chant with feeling, then automatically your chanting will increase. So don't simply strive for, in the case of this recovering person, don't simply strive for getting back to your 16 rounds. Chant with feeling. And then he elaborated with us, you know, what other things were in the letter, that with feeling can mean practically anything. Meaning, supposing you have a feeling that says, my chanting is really crummy. I'm not being attentive at all. Well, there's a feeling. I'm feeling really crummy. I'm not chanting attentively at all. And okay, so pick up that feeling and chant with that feeling. Oh, Krishna. Not like try to hide it because it's an embarrassing feeling. Enter into that feeling and chant with that feeling. Krishna, please help me. You see my condition. I'm chanting. And it's taking me nowhere. I don't feel that I'm chanting with any kind of quality. And so there's a feeling, and stay with the feeling. Anyway. Something from our previous events like this. We're somewhere over there. The 9 keys in chanting. Those of you that were here and may remember those, you can go see what the sign says, because we made a sign. In fact, one of the devotees is so moved by it. He, to this day, this is like 3 years later, he regularly follows these 9 keys. And the first one is something, again, about the mind, bringing the mind to the holy name. And one of the ways to bring the mind to the holy name is to be attentive to the Holy Name. And be attentive to the Holy Name specifically is the mantra that you're chanting at present. This is review for those of you that have been through this. But when you're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the mind may sometimes go somewhere other than the Hare Krishna mantra, or say it the other way. Sometimes the mind goes to the mantra. Most of the time, the mind is in some other place, either in the past or in the future, like planning or reflecting, either lamenting or wishing we could redo, or something that's in the past or something that's in the future, rather than what you're doing right at the moment. So what you're doing right at the moment is chanting. So when you're chanting, chant one mantra at a time. Don't worry about the one you didn't chant so nicely or the nice ones you're going to chant next time, because you can't chant the one next time until you get there. So chant the one that you're chanting now, nicely, one mantra at a time. It's not the same, but it's very similar to the exercise that Premachandra guided us through. Give full attention to the first Hare. And there's, the rest of the mantra, but the first Hare, it helps bring attention to the mantra by the first Hare, and then Hare Krishna, and the rest of the mantra. But either one word at a time, or one syllable at a time, at least one mantra at a time, you're chanting a particular mantra. Another way to say the same thing is be present with the Holy Name. That's a very powerful way of bringing the mind, instead of over there or over there, to one mantra and then the next mantra. And if you pick up on that approach or that application of the mind, each mantra, each mantra, each mantra, each mantra, each mantra, each mantra, it develops like a rhythm, and there's a joy, there's a happiness when the mind goes to Krishna. So if you can manage to do that by that one mantra at a time method, it's very effective. Bring the mind to Krishna. There are some things that help, like good posture. Isn't it obvious when somebody is in it kind of slouched over? Satchinandan Swami calls it a bag of potatoes. They're not going to chant attentively. So sit properly, and when the mind wanders, bring the mind back and focus on. So we discussed the pronunciation of the mantra, the articulation of the sound. Remember that little exercise? Speak the mantra clearly. If the mind is wandering and you're finding you're not so attentive, it's similar to Rupa Goswami's, when the mouth, from the mouth comes the sound. So articulate the mantra clearly. Did some of you experience in that exercise when person A was Krishna and person B was the chanter, that when the person is chanting attentively, you could hear, and when there, although the sound was coming, the attention was fading, you could hear it? Isn't it? I had this practice long ago when I had more time than I have now, where I volunteered that for the devotees, record your chanting, I'd like to listen to it. They go, oh. And so, but you can practice all you like ahead of time. But then, practice, and then make a recording. I want to listen to it. And two things. boy, were they attentive when they knew that someone was going to listen to it. And the second thing, so what they reported. I'd never chanted such attentive japas, preparing to know that I was going to be recorded. And the second thing is, by listening, just hearing the recording, not even seeing the person, just hearing the recording, you could hear when their attention would fade out, and for as long, and then it would fade back in again. You can hear the quality. But like this exercise we did with Krishna's hearing. And it's our Krishna consciousness that we're conscious that Krishna's hearing. I mean, it's so wonderful. His name is there. His deity form is there. He's in the spiritual realm hearing, and he's reciprocating in all of those ways. We're so fortunate. It's transcendentally powerful. Still, we have no attraction, or the mind is attracted elsewhere. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur calls this in Sanskrit vikshepa, or distraction. Even when doing something that's directly devotional, the mind may tend to go somewhere else, just by distraction. You know, perhaps even by habit, or by not so. But when you're inattentive, or you're not being attentive, the result is inattention. So there, on the positive side, constantly bring the faculty of attention to the name, to the sound. And inattention is, it's offensive. And you feel it, the difference, and one can hear the difference. So what do? Bring the mind back. It's exactly what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders, bring the mind back. And how many times might you have to do that in the course of 32 rounds? Doesn't matter how many times, as many times. Bring the mind back, bring the mind back, bring the mind back. By negligence, the mind will stay wherever it wants to go, and by practice, it may rebel, but it'll become accustomed to remaining attentive. And you relax, and it's an attention again. Then another one of these items in the nine keys is neglect. That is, if something, because part of what happens when chanting takes place is there's purification of the heart. Cheto darpana marjanam. The heart becomes cleansed. So there are things situated within the heart that are stored from past activity. Some of them may be nice, some of them may be not nice, some of them may be ugly, some of them may be painful, some of them may be embarrassing. I remember, I'll just share this because it's nice. Mother Rasa Gya attended the same japa retreat in Ojai. Remember what her explanation was afterwards? Does anybody here know Mother Rasa Gya? She used to live in Austin, Texas. Okay. So, she was part of the... She's a very expressive person. She was part of the Vaikuntha players when it was like roaring at their Brooklyn Temple, and then again in Manhattan Temple. She's a very expressive person, and a very strong person. So, she had been living, after her husband died of cancer, she had been living alone in Austin and was eager for peer association. So she was looking forward to attend this japa retreat where it was mainly Prabhupada disciples. It was called Retreat for Leaders. So she shared this with us at the end, that there's so much anticipation for weeks and weeks, and that helps, you have a real powerful experience. So it was a real powerful experience. She said as soon as she sat down to begin chanting, the thoughts started crowding in her mind of all the ways in which she had hurt people. done something that had caused another person some pain. And she thought, I'll just wait it out, it'll stop. But it didn't stop, it just kept coming and coming. And she thought, maybe I'll get up and walk around, I'll go outside, But her mind wouldn't leave her alone. She said it just went spiraling downwards, and she was crying. She didn't want the devotees to see her crying. It was so, because her anticipation was up here and it was happening way down here. And she was just crushed. And as far as I can remember, it was something like at 50 rounds, she just did what Draupadi did. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda. Just like, pff. And then shortly thereafter, not immediately thereafter, it was, and the happiness that she was anticipating for weeks and weeks started happening. And then she realized, Krishna is so kind. Krishna was kind doing the other part, and Krishna was kind doing that part too. And as she was sharing, it was with tears that she was sharing of Krishna's kindness. So tomorrow, or in the future when you're chanting, if some thoughts of the past come into your mind of something, for whatever it is, one advice from this 9 keys of chanting is you neglect it. Don't invest consciousness in illusion. Because it's illusion. What do you do with consciousness? Invest consciousness in reality. And did you sing Kevalasticam? Yeah. Well, satyam, param satyam, harir nam eva kevalam. Reality. Again I say reality, truth is the holy name. And there is, so that's our shelter. And don't invest consciousness in illusion, invest consciousness in reality. Na sate vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha. Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita. There's many other things to say, but I think what I'll do instead is just see if there's any short questions or topics you'd like to bring up that may help you or others for 32 round day tomorrow. Any comments or questions from anyone? Yes?
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned about intentions. Yes. We said before chanting.
Yes.
So we renew those intentions before every round again, or because they
as you're going along. You've attended these retreats, so you know what I'm about to say, but others may not, so I'll say it for their benefit. A magnifying glass. So sunlight, magnifying glass, and a piece of paper. So there's a constant adjustment of the magnifying glass so that the light of the sun passes through it and becomes a small dot and burns a hole in the paper. So it's not like, at the beginning of every round, but it's a constant adjustment. Refresh of intention. It's not an event that periodically you can periodically check, no harm. But it's ongoing. It's something that's in the heart, that's intention. And that brings focus to any activity. Whatever it is. Work or study or athletics or anything. So chanting, it's an ongoing from the heart, this is what I wish. And an accomplished person stays focused like that. You could say focus on the goal, or focus on the purpose for which you're doing this. I'll share this one with you. And it relates to your question. I had a knee problem, as you know, a little meniscus tear. So I thought, because lots of people do this, that I was going to have surgery to repair the tear. And I went to some orthopedic specialists, surgeons, and after looking at the MRI and this and that and the other thing and testing this and that and the other thing, they said, you don't need surgery. I said, really? I said, look, I'm a surgeon. You don't need surgery. You need physical therapy. Now, like you said, I can do the surgery and clean it up in there, but it's not obstructing anything, so I can clean it up or not clean it up. What you're going to need anyways is physical therapy, so do physical therapy. Because it's not interfering with anything where the tear is. What you need is, you know, build the structure around what it was being held by the cartilage or the meniscus. Okay. So, you know, here's a prescription for physical therapy. Go to a physical therapist. So I went to a physical therapist, and they got up their clipboard, you know, did their tests, and then said, okay, what's your expectation? What's your sankalpa? And I said, well, I want to be able to walk up and down the stairs and not be like an old man that has to have somebody help me walk up and down the stairs. I said, okay, that's good. What else? I said, I don't know. I said, well, do you want to play tennis? I said, no, I don't play tennis anymore. I said, okay, well, what else? So I realized they were serious. And I thought about it. And then the thought came, I'm going to Vrindavan the next year. And I want to be able to circumambulate Govardhan Hill and, you know, not be on a stretcher at the end. So I said, I didn't say it that way, I said, there's this holy place in India. She said, oh. And there's a very special, like, sacred place called Govardhan. I said, oh. And I'd like to be able, it's 23 kilometers, I'd like to be able to walk around Govardhan and not have to, you know, be a cripple at the end. I said, okay, very good. You know, and then the end is, okay, do 30 of those and 15 of those and 10 of those. So I'm doing the physical therapy thinking, okay, 15 accounting. It's pretty boring, 30 of those and 20 of those. But when I started thinking, Govardhan Hill, I'm preparing myself to walk around Govardhan. I mean, boy, was it inspiring. Sankalpa. You know, the sunlight can run. I'll do 40 of those. And then, you know, next time I said, don't push it, just do 30 of them. Oh, you're one of those, it has to hurt, huh? I said, no, I just want to. He said, okay, don't do it so it hurts. Just gradually you can increase. I'll give you some other exercise. So continue the focus on the purpose for which I'm doing this. And the clearer and the sharper the image of what I'm doing this, I'll even share this with you. I was at our GBC meeting with one of those stationary, like, just little pedals on the floor, sitting next to Badri Narayan. You know, he's a character. So he said, boy, it looks like you're trying to get somewhere. Like, you're not just doing this, you're into it. Where are you going? I said, I'm preparing to walk around Govardhan Hill. And when I don't think like that, it's one of these. When I'm thinking about Govardhan Hill, it's one of these. It's very practical. So if we think of, I want to be in my relationship with Krishna, or whatever the sankalpa is, chant with that sankalpa. And it's not, you know, at the beginning of every round, you can do that. Take a pause and say, okay, time out. How focused am I in what the purpose of this chanting is? But it's an ongoing thing, actually. And for that matter, it then carries over to all the activities of life where we do what we do for Krishna. Not just like when I sit down at my desk and think, okay, and I'll say a little prayer and, serve Krishna. And then 2 hours later, I look around and say, what happened? Krishna went away. Krishna didn't go away, just my focus went away. So it's an ongoing. Anything else? Yes. There's our youth. Ola Tanji, upstairs.
Guru Maharaj, this is not about 32 rounds, but it's something that you said in the class. You were quoting Niranjan Maharaj's reply to this devotee who was just recovering from illness. I'm just asking this question for further clarity for myself and also perhaps for the benefit of others, that where to draw that line, because sometimes there's a tendency very easily to, okay, I'm sick, I can't chant today, I have a cold, or so easily, like devotees may put their bead bag aside. So I just wanted to hear a little bit further from you. Also, like, if someone is sick and not able to chant, there are 16 rounds, like, should we make up our rounds, not? Just some further clarity on that.
Well, for one who has the physical ailments that you have, it's definitely a first-person question, not a third-person question. But I'll say, the two poles. One pole is that it's when, whether it's a vow of initiation, which is stronger than just a personal vow, or can be considered stronger than a personal vow, or a personal vow, I will chant whatever it is. One should maintain vows, personal or formal vows. And there's strength in that, strength in the relationship with the person to whom you've made the vows, and strength of the relationship with the holy name. That Krishna has given me this difficulty, Krishna can also help me overcome the difficulty. So there's the maintain the vow idea that really should be the prevalent one. When there's some illness, like a cold or something like that, then we'll go the other side. When it's something that's very serious, like, I was hospitalized for a little while, and I was on something that I was pretty much asleep the whole time, other when they were sticking needles in me and doing stuff. So, I didn't complete my rounds during that period of time, and I wasn't lamenting. I counted the number of days and I made up the rounds. But it really wasn't an option during that period of time. Or here's a Prabhupada story. One devotee had pneumonia and they were in an oxygen tent and it was hard to breathe even in the oxygen tent. And Prabhupada came to see them in the hospital. And they let Prabhupada know, with anxiety, I'm not able to complete my chanting. And Prabhupada said, very kindly, that's okay. Here's the priority. First comes your health. So you're in an oxygen tent. You can hardly breathe. So take care of your health. And then next comes sadhana. To the degree that you have the strength, you do your sadhana. And then there's also, then following completion of sadhana, there's some service, and then you do your service. But it's not that service should, in other words, service shouldn't overcrowd I don't have time, I have so much service, I can't do my sadhana. But so, way over on this side, if the health circumstance is such that it's just not realistic, it's not physically possible, then it can be excused. And then you go to that program of you make them up the next day, or the next, when you get out of the hospital or something. But then go the other side. They should be maintained by all means. Somehow complete one's daily chanting. Even if I have some illness, I take care of the illness, and it may take me much longer because of the illness to just do the chanting, but I do my chanting. Yes. Back there.
Thank you, Maharaj. My question is on the pronunciation.
Is not?
On the pronouncing of the mantra.
Pronunciation, okay.
Yeah, pronunciation. And the intention. So sometimes we focus so much on the pronunciation that we may forget the intention behind. You know, especially with other devotees, we may focus on other devotees' pronunciation, and you know, we may be thinking, you know, he's not or she's not pronouncing the mantra correctly, but we know that the intention in that devotee's mind is absolutely pure, and you know, he's chanting or she's
well, not
chanting.
Necessarily absolutely pure, but good intention.
Yeah, I mean, good intentions. So
what?
So the question is.
What's the question?
Yeah, when how much should we focus on the pronunciation, and how much should we focus on the intention? And sometimes
intention is most important. Okay. Pronunciation helps keep the mind focused. But Prabhupada explained like this. When somebody calls another person's name, they may mispronounce the name, but they know, you know, the person whose name is being called, although it may be mispronounced, they know that they're being called. So Krishna also knows our intention, and that's what the sincerity behind the act is the most important. On the other hand, sloppy pronunciation due to inattention, or sloppy pronunciation due to trying to chant too swiftly that you're not pronouncing properly, that says something about the intention. So trying to pronounce clearly helps the intention part, can help the intention part, and certainly helps the attention part, the mind going to the sound. But the most important is the mood behind the act, the purpose of the devotion behind the act or intention. Does that help? Okay, we had. Go ahead, last one.
I was thinking about the point you made about neglecting the mind.
Neglecting the mind. How good are you at that one?
Huh?
How good are you at neglecting the mind?
That's the question. I'm not so good.
Oh.
So I was wondering.
Well, you have an option. You can beat the mind. You want a broomstick?
Not so sure I'll do good with that one either.
Oh, okay. So what to do? That's the question? Yeah. Do you like prayer?
Hmm?
Do you like prayer?
I'm all right.
Huh?
I'm all right with prayer.
You're open to prayer, okay. Then try prayer.
Could you help me with that further?
Sure. It's a feeling. An appeal, commonly. Mm-hmm. A prayer is not just the words or, like, you know, the subject matter, but it's the mood of, it's a mood of prayer, appeal, calling to Krishna. And then the words express the mood, but it's the mood that's within the prayer. Like, how about Shikshastakam number 3? There's a nice prayer. Just jump in. And there's different parts to it. You're very tolerant, I must say. You have practice at being tolerant. How old is he?
He's going to be 7.
7 years of practice. Okay. So, Goloka, that clock says 4 minutes to 6. My watch says 7 minutes to 6. Which is it?
6 minutes.
Five.
5 minutes.
4. Okay, I'm going to adjust my watch. 5 minutes. Okay. We don't have time to do. Would you like to just do a 4 minute? Give the microphone to Prema Trangani. Just a refresh, because there's some people that weren't here. I prepared her, so she's not a complete surprise.
So for those of you who were not there this afternoon, we did a little exercise following Maharaj's class. The message of the class was basically to be conscious of Krishna. And we also heard that Krishna is always conscious of us, that his full attention is on us. Yathastad Vishayamati, that one who chants his name, as soon as he chants his name, Krishna's full attention is on that devotee. And he's thinking, he's called upon my name. You know, how can I protect him? How can I extend my shelter to him? So he's fully present. So we did a little exercise, you know, paired up with partners. So maybe you can quickly find a partner. And we can do it again for a few minutes, where find a partner quickly. Okay, and so partner A, whoever is partner A, figure out. Don't take time to figure out. Partner A is Krishna. And partner B is going to chant to Krishna. And Krishna is fully conscious and fully attentive to your chanting, to partner B's chanting. And then we ask devotees to share some feedback. You can share what you felt as Krishna, hearing the chanting of the other devotee, and also how you felt chanting to Krishna while knowing that he's fully listening to your chanting. So because of time, I want you to switch partners now. Partner A can chant. And partner B is Krishna now. Okay. Hare Krishna. We'll stop here.
Sri Sri Kishore Kishore Kedar.